Get into the Word tonight. For those of you that were here this morning, you're going to hear a lot of parallels because I'm going to talk about faith again. But faith is something that we can't talk enough about. But the title of my message here is called Faith That Conquers Fear. Faith That Conquers Fear. Now, here's a quote that Max Lucado, some of you may know Max Lucado, he's very good, he's done a lot of devotionals, he's a great spokesperson. He said this about faith. Faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. It is the belief that God will do what is right. That's a pretty powerful quote. And here's one that's unique. Death is no more than passing from one room into another. But there's a difference for me, you know, because in that other room, I shall be able to see. Now, who do you suppose wrote that? Helen Keller. That really had quite a twist to it. And I read that, I'm like, wow, that's faith. That's the power of faith. Do you find yourself in a cycle of worrying about things that you cannot control? Come on, raise your hand. How many of you get in that trap? I do. It's a circle that we can get fallen into really quick. It's a trap for us. What's the end result that we have when we worry and we start thinking about things that we don't have control over? It causes anxiety, doesn't it? It causes depression. It causes us to have fear. Yeah, lose the joy in the moment that you're in right now. And fear is a word that's mentioned many times in the Bible. So fear in the biblical sense, what it really means is a lack of faith. You see, when we have a lack of faith, fear creeps in, and fear can overtake us. What's the cure to fear? Faith. Faith. So we're going to break that down tonight, and we're going to talk about some references in the Bible that are good for us to use in building our own faith. The Bible has references to the words fear not or be not afraid. In fact, you'll find it 103 times, either one of those two phrases, in the King James Version of the Bible. Fear is referenced, either directly or indirectly, over 500 times in the Bible. Now, why do you suppose that is? Why is fear mentioned so many times in the Bible? Yes, it's one of our biggest stumbling blocks. It's one of the ways that the enemy gets in. But there's also a good kind of fear, and that's godly fear, the fear of God. And what I mean by that is many times it's saying fear God, which really means reverence to God alone, and do not fear anyone or anything else. Having reverence to the Father, to the Creator, and not fear anybody or anyone else. Now, that's a lot easier said than done many times. I know because I've gone through that. And I often have times where I'll go into my little tizzies and Nancy will pull me aside and she'll say, Terry, what should we do in times like this? And I'll look at her kind of sad and I'll say, we should pray. She'll say, that's right. And we'll pray. And we'll pray for faith. We'll pray for God's healing and for God's restoration. And you know what? He always delivers on his promises. It may not be the time we expect, but in his time, he delivers his promises. I have a handout tonight that I'm going to give you, and it's on the words, fear not. I made some copies of these, so if you can kind of pass them around towards each other. And it shows all the scriptural references to fear not. I thought it was kind of a nice handout to have. So if you're going through your Bible and you want to look at places where it's mentioned and read what it says, there are some great references that you can post it or put it somewhere or throw it away if you don't want it. But I think it's a good little tool that's handy for all of us. The first reference I want to bring you to is Psalm 56, 3-4. It says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? And that's repeated in similar words in verse 10 and 11 in Psalm 56. So whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I put my trust in you, Lord. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. You see, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. So if we place God first, that fear becomes secondary. And that fear can be eliminated through a strong commitment to faith. If only we would believe. In Hebrews 11, most of my conversation tonight is built around that. By faith we understand. And in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by its elders obtained a good testimony." So by the elders obtained a good testimony. People that were before us, thousands of years before us, had a testimony of what God's true power is and what the belief in faith really means. In verse 11:3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So let me ask all of you, why is faith important? I'm going to give you five reasons why faith is important. Number one, the focused power of faith breeds abundance. The power of faith breeds abundance. You want to live an abundant life filled with joy and peace? Increase your power of faith and walk in God's love. Walk in his promises. Number two, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Now you're probably thinking, well, what do you mean by that? Well, go to the book of Job. What happened with Job? God turned Job over to be sifted by Satan, right? But he told Satan, you cannot kill him. Do anything you want, but you cannot kill him. Job was a man of faith. Job's faith kept him to the test. Same thing is true with us. What doesn't kill us can only make us stronger. Why is faith important? Number three, faith helps you to discover your purpose in life, your ultimate purpose in life. That can be defined a lot of different ways. To be a servant of God, it requires divine resources, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit in us, through loving channels, to help people who are in need, and the most important thing, all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. So when we discover our true purpose in life, what it really comes down to is this. Our purpose is to love and to serve God. To love and to serve God. We weren't created to be served. We were created to serve God. How backwards has that gotten in our world? Are you politically correct? Are you spiritually right on? It's no longer a matter of just being on the fence. Today, the lines have been drawn in our society. You're either on the side of good, which is God's truth, or you're on the side of evil. You can't be on both. I tried for a long time to balance on the fence. I had one leg with God, and I had one leg over here to do the things that I like to do because it gave me joy, and it appeased my fleshly desires. But that doesn't work very well with God. Number four, faith trumps stress, anxiety, and fear. And number five, it acts as the pathway to finding solutions. So you have a problem that you think is unsurmountable. Faith in God allows us to find solutions through Him. And you know, if you press in and you listen to that small voice, at times we don't listen enough. We don't get quiet and commune with God to hear that soft little word saying, "Terry, Terry, return to me first. You're trying to do it on your own. Come to me first. For He has plans for us, plans that are good, not to harm us, right? Plans for a hope and for a future," as in Jeremiah. So in verse 11, 4 through 7, we talk about faith at the dawn of history. Let me give you some historical background. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Where do you store your treasures? What is your reward? Is your reward in the things of the world, or is your reward in the things of heavenly realms? I think we all understand that when we idolize something and we place it in front of our ultimate purpose, it leads to frustration. It leads to ultimate turmoil, and many times it leads to death. Look at the challenges with addictions, drugs, alcohol. Not just that, but sexual addictions, food addictions. We can go on and on. When we start to idolize things and we place it ahead of God, we're really setting ourselves up into a dangerous zone. So how do we overcome those things? We believe. We have faith. And we work on our faith. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things, not yet seen, moved with godly fear. There's that word, godly fear. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Moving on into Hebrews 11, 8 through 12. Excuse me. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going in the wilderness, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. The city that has foundations, the city that has God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. How old was Sarah when she conceived? She wasn't a young woman, was she? And Abraham was certainly not a young man. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Descendants of Abraham. You will have descendants. You will have multitudes. We're descendants of Abraham, aren't we? If we're singing that song, Father Abraham? Yep, I think we know some of that. We grew up with it in Sunday school. Here's some great scriptures to remember about faith that I want to give you tonight. 1 John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You want to overcome the world? You do it through faith that Jesus is the Son of God. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. John 3:16, a verse that is unanimous with most Christian believers, but even secular people, most people know of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And Romans 1:17. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, they shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now think about that. The just shall live by faith. What does that mean if we're unjust? It's almost just the opposite, isn't it? We'll live by whatever we feel is right. Wherever the world, whatever the common flavor of ice cream is today is the one I want. Or I'm going to follow this, or I'm going to follow this. The just believe, they have faith. We have faith in God. And that gets us through those areas of fear in our life. Amen? The heavenly hope. In verses 13 through 16 in Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen from afar off, were assured of them. Embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, aliens in a strange world. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Oh, I long for that day when we stand before the Lord. He's prepared a mansion for us with many rooms. Amen? We can't even fathom what that day is going to be like. To stand there face to face. Will we fall to our knees? I think so. Will we sing songs to him all the days of our life? I think so. Will we be joyous and happy? Yes. Will we look like we do tonight? No. It says that we will be in a glorious new body, right? We'll be in a glorious state. And isn't that going to be a beautiful thing? Someday, I'm going to stand face to face with Denny. I'm going to say, Denny, what happened to you? Because he's going to have this glorious body. He's going to look at me. He says, what happened to you? But what a great day that will be to be able to be in his courts forevermore. The faith of the patriarchs in Hebrews 11, 17-22, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, what did he do? He offered up Isaac. We know the story. He went up on the mountain. And just when he was ready to sacrifice Isaac, what happened? God provided a sacrificial lamb, right? And he came back off of that with his son. Abraham was ready to do one of the most difficult things any of us could ever imagine, to sacrifice your own son. Yet he was obedient. Why? Because he was a man of strong faith. He had faith. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Okay, we talked about that. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. I'm going to skip down to 11:20. If I can, Jeremiah. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons, Joseph, and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and he gave instructions concerning his bones by faith. What about Moses? In 23 through 29, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Not the rewards of the things he saw around him, but of the things not seen in the heavenly realms. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him for who he is, invisible, God. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, and lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by path they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, by faith, thank you, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so, what happened to them? They were drowned, right? Can you imagine seeing a sea part right before you? What if we could walk right through that sea and we look back and our enemies were chasing us down? Just when we were starting to think they were going to catch us, the sea comes back in on them. You see, nothing's impossible for God. Never stop believing. Have faith. And by faith they overcame. In Hebrews 11, 30 through 40, to wrap up the chapter, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they worked righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, they became valiant in battle, they turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. Hallelujah. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Paul spent a lot of a lifetime in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these have obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That's a powerful, powerful message on the importance of faith. I'm going to close tonight by giving you some ways to build your faith. Ways to build your faith. And I'm going to ask you to repeat these words. Fruit of the Spirit. Remember the fruits of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is your evidence and your testing of where your faith is. And we'll talk about that for a moment. Let's go to Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If we have faith, do we demonstrate love? If we have faith, do we have joy in our life? If we have faith, do we find peace? If we have faith, can we endure long suffering? If we have faith, do we act in kindness? If we have faith, do we cling to goodness? And if we have faith, we obviously have faithfulness. And if we have faith, we have gentleness. And if we have faith, we have self-control. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you were to do one thing tonight that would be different in your life, that would be life-changing, that would be a paradigm shift, what would it be? Would it be to get on your knees and to pray to God? Would it be to open up your Bible and read scriptures? Would it be to commit to a pathway of dwelling in His Word day in and day out? It could be all of those things. But someone told me this a long time ago, and it was one of the best words I ever heard. And it's so simple, but it's so powerful. This man looked at me and he said, "Terry, I'm going to give you some words of wisdom." He said, "And here it is. You ready?" I said, "Yep, I'm ready." He said, "Take time for God, Terry, and God will take time for you. Take time for God, and God will take time for you." So important for us to start our day off by meditating on His Word. And I know many times we get caught up in the daily routines. "Oh, I've got this going. I forgot to sit down and do my devotion day." If we just take time to commune with God, God will take time for us. We can believe that it is written. When we pray, have faith. Say faith of a mustard seed. How big is a mustard seed? It's pretty small, isn't it? Faith of a mustard seed. Nothing is impossible for God. Absolutely nothing is impossible for God. I hear people all the time say, "Well, the miracles, Terry, they happened thousands of years ago. We don't have any modern-day miracles." Well, you better look around you. There's a lot of miracles that happen in this world. And I've seen my share, and so have you. But He's calling us. He's asking us to increase our faith. He's asking us to take that step, to go out on the water and not worry about the waves. What happened to Peter when he took his eyes off of Jesus on the water? He started to sink, didn't he? But when he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was fine. Are you in the storms of your life right now? Are you trying to figure out, how do I get through this? How do I make it one more day? Do you have family members, friends, children that are struggling? Maybe family members that are not believers right now. We pray for them. We appeal to them. But do we do enough? God has the answers. We just have to have that one word that's called faith. And if we have faith, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Amen? Amen? I want to pray with all of you tonight before we leave.